upon your word, so that the word washes and sanctifies and restores and rejoices and enlightens as your word moves amongst us this morning. Come, Lord, transform us. You have promised transformation, and we agree, and we believe in the transforming power and blood of the name, in the name of Jesus. So come, Lord, may this word sanctify us like never before, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. May be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We started last week about pressing on and walking in a world that's just messed up, right? I mean, the world is just messed up. And we spent a lot of time last week talking about this fallen, sinful, messed up world, okay? And, what it makes messed up is that a messed up world is made up by messed up people, right? We were talking to elders this morning, just kind of, we're all some form or fashion just cases before the Lord, right? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And the world's messed up. And people are messed up. And people have been wounded, and people have been hurt, and people have walked in their sin, and they've walked in their darkness. And the world is just messed up. And one of the things that we were talking about, one of the elders said, you know, when you look at the Word of God, especially, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, it's just a word to messed up people, messed up churches. I mean, you think about the church at Corinth and how just the trouble and the struggle is going on. I mean, when you look at this here in just a moment and see what Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to say, this is who you were, but this is now who you are in Christ Jesus, because he resurrected you. I mean, he brought you to life. And it's a very powerful piece here about, again, about who we are before Christ. And so I want you to notice the first few verses with me. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Last week we talked about the children of God, the sons of God, or the sons of the devil. Here he's saying they're sons of disobedience. And that's why last week we said we're not surprised by the fiery ordeal that comes upon us for our testing. We're not surprised when the world hates us. We're not surprised that the world continues to spiral out of control with just awesome evil things. We're not surprised. Because this is what Scripture says back then, and back then still applies today. Hasn't changed. We've always had this sin problem. We've always had this fallenness problem. We've all had this messed up problem. We all have had it. And I want you to notice what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, this is who you were in Christ. You were dead. Now, if you're not in Christ, you are dead. And what I mean by that, and what the Scripture means by that, is that the Spirit living in you is dead. I often look at this passage of Scripture and I always think about it. I mean, you know, when I came out here, I was 25 years old. I'd probably been to 2 funerals. My grandmother's and my aunt's. And I came out here and I worked for the funeral home for a summer. And I started seeing lots of funerals. And, you know, one of the things that I always just baffled me is when people would come up and speak to the corpse. Okay. This funeral home does such a good job. They make them look really, really good. Yeah, I've heard that. And I've seen it. I've seen it in grief and in mourning, and I understand that. But that corpse has no life in it, right? It cannot respond. It just cannot respond. I mean, it can't hear you, it can't smell you, it can't see you, it can't feel you, it can't feel you when you kiss the cheek or whatever, it can't hear you mourning, it can't do any of those things. Why? Because it's a corpse, it's a dead corpse. And has no life in it to respond to anything. Not a voice, not a whisper, not a shout, not a wail, not a cry. It can't respond. Why? Because it's a dead corpse. You say, well, I know that. But I'm going to tell you, this is who we are without Christ. We're a dead corpse in a funeral home. And you might look good in that coffin, but it can't hear God. It can't see God. It can't smell God. It can't taste God. It can't feel God. It is absolutely dead. And that's who you and I were before we came to Christ. And that's who you are if you don't know Jesus, period. You're dead. And he says, you're dead in your trespasses and your sins. The word sin means to miss the mark. And it's interesting because when you look at this, when you look at people who are dead in their trespasses and sin, who have missed the mark. And what's the mark? The mark's the glory of God. The Bible says it in Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and fall short of what? The glory of God. That's our sin. We've missed the mark. But then the trespasses, this is a little bit of a different word. It has some of the same meaning, but trespasses is just our failures, our disobedience, the things that we just won't move head on into, even when we know better. Trespasses and sins. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And then he says this. He says, which you walked according to the course of this world. You know, last week I didn't really explain this, you know, because, and you can become maybe a little bit of confusion because the Bible says, love not the world nor the things of the world, because all of the that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father. And the world is passing away in its lusts. And you might get a little confused because the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Well, when he's talking about the world in this context, he's talking about a system in the world. It's a system. And the system is run by the enemy. Now listen to me again. And the sons of the enemy. You see, you're talking about there's people of the sons of the devil. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. He said that to the Pharisees, actually, that you're the sons of your father, the devil. And we saw it in 1 John last week. That the sons of God and the sons of the devil are obvious. The one who doesn't practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. And he's saying, he's making a distinction. And folks, some of us don't like that distinction. We don't. But I don't even want to suggest this to you. I want you to open your Bible and see there is a distinction. And it's right here in Scripture. Is that right? That's why it's messed up. It's messed up because there's messed up people that come into this world. And we were all one of them, or we still are. Or we still are. He says, listen, you are dead in your trespasses and sins, and you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That is Satan. That is the enemy. It's the demonic host. And he says it's the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. I love what it says here. It says, and you... And we could just do it. I mean, if I point to you, I'm not doing it on purpose, okay? I'm just going to say. So just, I'll do it like this. Is that better instead of that? Is that right? Yeah. And you were, past tense, dead in your trespasses and sin. You once walked according to the prince of the air. You once walked according to the system of the world, how the world lives, how the enemy teaches you to live, how the enemy teaches you to respond on a daily basis. You all live that way. You all walk this way. And verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived in what? The lust of the flesh. And we indulge in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And you, he says, and you. Keep your place here and go to Galatians. There's going to be some there's some scriptures that's not in your notes today. But Galatians, just a couple of pages back. Last week we looked at Romans chapter 1, and we saw the wrath of God and how the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, those who knew God but did not give him honor or glory as God, but they walked in their own futility, and God gave them over to the lust of their flesh. And we looked at specific sins. I mean, just mention them. And I just want to mention them again because it's really important. One of the great things about the Word of God is that when it has these kind of passages that are warning passages, they are passages that come like a mirror that says, that God uses, say, oh, that's me. That was me this morning. Right? That was me with the outburst of anger. That's me with the lust of the flesh. The lust that I'm walking in. And so that's what it does. And it's a really, really important thought here. It's not that we as believers are afraid of it. We welcome it. We say, oh God, show me in my heart where I'm lacking. Because that's the blessing of God. Listen, when God shows you a fault, when God shows you something that's a blind spot, I want to tell you that's a gift from God. Because you know why? He wants to show it to you so he can convict you of it, so he can change you from it. And if you're in Christ and have walked in Christ any amount of time, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm true. It's true. But Paul says this. He says it like when the law is read, what it does do? The law exposes our sinfulness. It can't save us. And we can't do it to save us. It just exposes who we are without Christ. And then it leads us, the Bible says, to him. And it's a beautiful thing. That's why we're not afraid of confession. We're not afraid of humility. We're not afraid of saying, it's me that needs you. We're not afraid of that because that's where the power of God and the mercy of God meets you. We were all this way, folks. And you were dead in your sins, in your trespasses, as you walked according to the enemy, as you walked according to the powers of darkness, as you walked in the lust of the flesh and indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Paul calls them the deeds of the flesh. And he's talking about this whole thought of walking by the Spirit. And he says it. He says it in verse 16. I say walk by the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. I'm sorry, chapter 5, thank you. Galatians 5, chapter 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Okay, I'm going to say this. The desire of the flesh is a part of the old nature, but if there's a desire of the flesh, I haven't sinned yet. It's when I carry it out. Okay. And when you walk by the Spirit, this is what he says in the original Greek. You never, ever, 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 ever fulfill the desire of the flesh. Victory! It's by the Spirit of God. It's by the Spirit of God by which I look unto him and I live for him. And I want to walk obeying the initial promptings of the Spirit of God. And he says, if you'll walk by this, if you'll tread this way, if you'll move in this way, you'll never, ever, ever, ever carry out the desire of the flesh. And then he goes in 19, he said, now here are the deeds of the flesh. They're evident. Immorality, impurity, sensuality. And that's sexual immorality. It's sex outside of marriage. Immorality, impurity, sensuality. And then there's idolatry. And we've said this before, even in recent days. An idol is something that you think that's going to fulfill what only God can fulfill. And it can be money, and it can be your career, it can be your job, it can be your wife, it can be your children, it can be church, it can be ministry. And then he says, not only idolatry, but sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have also forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is what it looks like to walk in the deadness of sin, to indulge in the desires of the flesh. We talked a couple of weeks ago about whether or not I'm going to be God-directed, Christ-directed, Spirit-directed, or self-directed. And this is a self-directed life. And it brings nothing but destruction and devastation. You and I know that. You and I understand devastation. You understand the things that sin does to us. I didn't have any intention of going on, but I think I need to because I want to give you this great, great hope because it's familiar to us in this pulpit because we talk about it all the time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And if you belong to Christ, you have crucified the flesh and its passions and its desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. I love what he says here. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. That isn't a perfect tense. And let me just tell you what a perfect tense means. It means that you start with this verb and it has this long, long road to it. So it's like this. I have been crucified or I have crucified. I am being crucified and I will continue to crucify the flesh and its desires. Again, it's like, he's not talking about perfection here. He's talking about direction. He knows we're flesh. He knows that we still have this old man in us. We still have this old nature. He knows there's a battle. But here's the key, how to press in a days that are messed up, that are hard, that are difficult. We walk by the Spirit of the living God. You say, that's just too simple. Oh, yes, it is simple. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's just simple. It is a simple, simple statement, something that we need to grab onto and hold onto. God, I want to walk by the Spirit. Because if I walk by the Spirit, I'm going to say no to sin. I'm going to say no to the desires of the flesh. I'm going to say no to being angry. I'm going to say no to having outbursts of anger. I'm going to say no to dissension in my marriage and in my family and in our church or at work. I'm going to say no to those things. Why? Because I'm walking by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of the living God. This is where we find victory. This is where we find life. This is where we find pressing in to the things of God when things are not only messed up, but they're getting more and more messed up. I hope that this brings us hope today because the Bible says, look, you were dead in this stuff. You walked in this stuff. But now he says, watch this. Verse 4. Remember verse 1 of 2? We're back in Ephesians 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin. And then we just talked about all this stuff. But then watch this, verse 4. But God. And you were doing all this stuff, but God. Some of the two greatest words put together in all of Scripture, but God. But God. Oh, I've walked in this. I've walked in this sin. I've walked in this darkness. I've made a fool of myself. I've made a horrible, horrible mistake as I've walked in this. I did all this stuff. But God. Do you remember when you heard that? Maybe you didn't hear it like I just articulated it. But you were walking in it. And you were living in it. And all of a sudden, but God came. But God. And notice what he says. But God, being what? Rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. But, he says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We're talking about resurrection here, folks. We're talking about the power of resurrection. We're talking about transformed lives. and you were dead, but God. You were walking this way, but God. You came, you were walking your own way, doing your own thing with a mess behind you and a mess in front of you and people behind you that are left in your wake, and all of a sudden God came. And he showered his great, rich mercy on you and me. The mercy of God. You know, I know this, I might say this a lot lately because it's just on my heart. The way we respond to the things that make us mad is we ask God to have mercy. I'm telling you what, this will transform you. This will get you from mad to glad in Jesus. Mad in the flesh to glad in Jesus. Why? Because when I'm extending mercy, even to people I don't know, even to people that I'm seeing on my news feeds, that it's just making me boil, okay? Let me ask you, when you're boiling over this stuff, are you making any kind of change? Are you making any kind of impact? Hey, come on, come on. No. Let me tell you, what is that accomplishing? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And somehow we think that if I can just say this on Facebook or say this on Instagram or Twitter or tweet this or tweet that, then everything's going to change because I just did something really, really good. No, you just vomited. Vomiting. Was there any mercy in it? Was there any grace in it? Hey, that's why I just show pictures of my kids and an occasional scripture, okay? Because it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything for anybody, especially your own soul, when you're complaining and you're moaning and you're groaning and you're saying things that you know Jesus is not saying. Am I right? Yep. Amen. 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 All right. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Why do I want to go another day in anger? Why do I want to go another day in desperation? Why do I want to go in another day of complaint? Why do I want to go in another day in all of this when our great God's in control? Do you believe that today? Do you believe he's in control? Do you believe he's ordained our steps? Yes. This is where we find victory. This is where we find life. This is the moment that God comes and he brings you to life and he raises you from the dead and he forgives you of your sins and he forgives you of those trespasses and he does this great work in me. Why in the world would I want to turn around and not show mercy to everybody else who is just like me? And I want to say to you that only babies in Christ do that if they're in Christ. Mature people in Christ don't do that. They don't. Just babies do. Babies in Christ. You know, a baby, right? Infant. Bring it home. And for the first 2 years, maybe a little bit, maybe the first 18 months, yeah, I do everything for them, right? Change their diaper. Got to feed them in the middle of the night. Got to do all that. And then before long, when they start walking around, you know, when they start toddling and all that, they start pitching fits. How many of you kids pitch a fit this week? Yeah. Hey, let me tell you this. And nobody taught them how to pitch a fit. Why? Because it's called the old nature. That's why. And we can say, thank you, Eve, and we can say, thank you, Adam, for all that, right? Thank you. But we pitch our own fits. I mean, we do. We pitch our own fits about certain things. And it comes out not in a righteous, godly manner. It comes out in a fleshly manner. And I'm just saying, I just believe this with all my heart. Mature Christians that are overcoming the enemy, they don't act like this anymore. You know, And I look at this passage of scripture and I say, man, this is the greatest thing. But God, he was rich in mercy. He loved us, and he loved us with this undying love that he would go to the cross for us, that while we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he says this, he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now that's really interesting, isn't it? Hey, go back just a page to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Notice what he says. He's praying for the church at Ephesus. I pray, verse 18, chapter 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now watch. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, that every name that is named, not only in this age, but the one to come. And he put all things in subjection, watch this, under his feet. And he gave him as head over all things, the church, which is his body, which is you and me. He says his power, it raised Jesus up from the grave and it seated him at the throne of God in the heavenlies. And all of a sudden I go to our passage here and I say that when we were dead, he made us alive. And I'm telling you, it's with the same power that he raised Jesus up, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. That's who we are. There's a great passage of scripture. It's found like four or five times. It's a quote from the Old Testament. In Acts 3, 22, 34 through 35, it says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my hand, at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. You know what that is? I don't have a footstool. But it's just God, Jesus is sitting, and he's got a footstool, and it's his enemies. He's conquering his enemies at the right hand of God. That's what he's doing. He's conquering. And you know what's so great about that? We're with him. We are with him. The body of Christ is with him. And if I can only just think that in the midst of everything that's going on in my life, all the things that are taking place, if I can just, hold on to that, that I am seated with him in the heavenlies while he's making a footstool, watch this, for Satan. That's where we are. That's who we are. And I say, how could we ever complain about anything again in our lives? I mean, this is who we are, folks. We are with him. And that, you think I can explain that? No, I can't explain it. Is it a mystery? Yes, it's a mystery. But all I can say is, it's the decree of God. It's what God decreed. It's what God said, that I am seated with him in the heavenlies. And this gives me hope, and this gives me power, and it gives me victory. And I learned that I have authority. I have authority to tread, and we're going to see that in just a moment, to tread over all the power of the enemy. And I love this because we were dead. We were walking this walk. His mercy came. He had mercy. God came. He caused us to be born again. He raised us up from the dead. We were resurrected in him. When we get baptized, that's what's happened in our lives. We have been buried with Christ. We've been raised to walk in newness of life with him. And he is seated. And guess what? He says, you're seated with me. Do you think maybe we start acting like that? Because it's true. You and I are seated with him in the heavenlies. Oh, I wish I can make it clearer. But I can't. Because it's so unbelievable. It's so impossible. It is so unworldly that this great God would become a man and die for us and be raised to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And then invite us to the same seat. Amen. This is who we are. This is how we press in. We press in when everything's falling apart, when everything gets even messed up more. Okay, maybe not this year, but maybe next year. I don't know. And this is how we do it. We move with our great God, and we believe that we're seated with Him, and His enemies are our enemies, and His victory is our victory, and His warfare is our warfare. And I believe with everything in my heart, this is where God wants to bring us as a church body, in a world that is so dark and getting darker, but where you and I appear as lights to the world, where God puts us where He does in our jobs and puts us where He does in our places in the community, so that we are a platform. We're a lampstand, a platform where we're letting our light shine, and they are seeing our good works that God prepared that we should walk in them. He seated us with Him, now watch this, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His great in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I saw this as younger. I don't know what I think about it, but I'm going to say, when I was younger, I said, a trophy case. Where's trophy case? I went to a private school called Sandbarth School for Boys. 5 years old to 12 years, to 12th grade. And I'll never forget this. I remember walking into the little foyer that walked into the gym, came into the gym, and there was a sign, and it said, if winning isn't important, why keep score? I'm just telling you, that's what I grew up from 8th grade to 12. Okay. And you know, I don't buy all of that, but I want to tell you, in the kingdom of God, winning matters. It just does. I mean, this great God crushed the head of the enemy 2,000 years ago, and He comes into your life to crush His head in your life. And that's victory. That's a win. It's a win for you. It's a win for me. It's a win for the kingdom. It's a win. It's a win, folks. And you've always heard it. You've heard it if you've grown up in church. Go to Revelation. We win. Right? We win. And what I'm saying is listen, let's win together. Let's move in this together. Let's encourage one another to raise our kids to do this and our grandkids to do this. Let's get connected together so that we're not some island out here by ourselves. We get involved in Sunday school. We get involved in home fellowships. Because why? We do this together. We do it together. Because we need each other. Listen to me. I need you, the church, and the body, brothers and sisters in Christ. I need you. Listen. Cut me and I bleed, okay? And I could say a whole lot of other things that probably wouldn't be too appropriate, but I'm just telling you, I'm human. And I've got this old man in me that I'm putting to death. And I need the prayers, and I need the encouragement, and I need sometimes the rebuke. Not all the time, but sometimes, right? Oh, you gave me permission. Well, I didn't give you permission to do it every time, okay? We need each other. We need each other. And we're on this journey. And you've heard me preach it. I've been preaching it for 30 years, more than that. I've been here 36 years now, so it's 34 years been preaching that this great God comes into our lives to give us this victory over sin, over trespasses, over the lusts of the flesh and all that. Why? Because we're seated with Him in the heavenlies. That's where we are. He's the head of the church, and the church sits with Him. We're a part of the body of Christ. We sit with Him at the right hand of God. And you say, you don't mean it. And I want to tell you, listen, that's what we're reading right now. Is that right? That's what we're reading. He seated us with him. This is not wait till you get to glory. This is right now, right here. When I look at this passage of scripture, I think, God, there's just so much hope. There's so much hope for the messed up churches out there, the messed up people out there, right? Because that's what he's doing. Remember, he's preaching to people that don't get it yet. They're not perfect yet. They especially church at Corinth. I mean, they get drunk at the Lord's Supper. Their church is a mess with the way they're handling gifts. There's division among them. It's messed up. But guess what? Got a new nature that fixes the mess ups. It fixes the mess ups. The question is am I going to walk in agreement with it? Because the Bible says, listen, it's by grace you've been saved. And if it's by grace you've been saved, then it's by grace that will keep you. It's by grace that you'll grow. It's by grace that you seated in the heavenlies with him, and by this grace, not of yourselves, not as a result of works, that God will fulfill his word while he allows you to walk in the good works that he prepared beforehand that you should walk in. I love this because I think about just the magnitude of the possibility for every one of us. Tomorrow, you're going to your jobs, or you're going to school, or you're going to be teaching your children at home, or your kids are going to go to school. And guess what? You have works that God designed beforehand that you should walk in them. Tomorrow, this afternoon, to show the great workmanship of Jesus in your life. You know, I think what has to happen often is that we've got to get to this place in our lives where we humble ourselves and say, yep, that's where I've walked in, but no more. This is where I've walked in pride. This is where I've walked in lust. This is where I've walked in greed. This is where I've walked in complaint. This is where I've walked in bitterness and anger. Just to be able to confess that so that God can come and move in our lives as we grow from babies to young men and women who overcome the enemy, according to 1 John. And I just want to just say this because it's been on my mind. It's been on my mind for a couple of weeks. There's been a couple of things on my mind, and just to kind of chase a little rabbit. One is hey, don't be yoked to that. Don't be yoked to the news of the day. Don't be yoked to your anger. Don't be yoked to your hurts. Be yoked to Jesus, whose yoke is what? Easy and light. It's not heavy. And the other thing is that I've been just seeing lately, in a more fresh way, is the authority that Jesus gives you to walk this walk. And I love Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And I happened to be getting coffee, Chance, and I heard you preaching this. And so I just smiled. If you were in that Sunday school class, you get a double dose this morning, okay? But I want you to see this marvelous passage of Scripture, and then hopefully I'll get to finish, okay? Luke chapter 10, verse 17, all right? What happens is Jesus, you know, he's got 12 disciples, right? Now he's got 70. There's 70, and the 12 are a part of this. And he decides to send them out on a mission, okay? And this is to declare the glory of God, declare the kingdom of God. And he's sending them ahead because he's going to come behind them, and he's going to preach, and he's going to heal, and he's going to do all those things. And what's interesting is this, in verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So that even the demons, in other words, not just demons, even the demons. In other words, he's saying there's a whole lot of things that the enemy is subject to in your name, even the demons. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? You come to Jesus and we're standing before the throne, and maybe, I don't know, maybe we're sitting together as a church. I don't know. I'd love to see that, wouldn't you? Church family. And he said, oh, do you remember in January 2021, and then into February, March, Cottonwood, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And I saw restoration. and I saw gifts released, and I saw life, and you responded. You responded to the Word of God, and you got busy with the Word of God, not by your own flesh, but just through faith. I saw Satan fall like lightning. Why does he say that? He says that to a people who walked in authority. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, and he says, behold, well, I'm going to talk about it right now. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means injure you. Now, I want to stop here for a minute. I want to make sure. He's not talking about literal scorpions and serpents. He's talking about the enemy. I mean, come on, think about it. I mean, a lot of us live in the country. I'll never forget the first time I was stung by a scorpion. We're living in the trailer back then. And I had never even seen a scorpion before. I was from the city, you know, and never even seen one before. And I was drawing a bath, and I lay down in it, and that thing stung me right on my back. Boom. What was that? And I looked, and of course, it's that little critter, you know, with a stinging tail. He's not talking about those. He's not. When Jesus said to the serpent, the seed of the woman is going to come and crush you on the head. He wasn't talking about a rattlesnake in North Texas or a copperhead. He's talking about the enemy. Listen to me. The enemy is real. He's alive. He roams like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's the tempter. He's the destroyer. He is alive and well. Now, he's not omnipotent and he's not omniscient. He can't be everywhere at one time. But he's got scorpions and serpents and the demonic host to do his work. And I'm just telling you, he wants to destroy you. But yet we have this great promise from God that we have authority, power. Now, watch this. To tread, tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And I love it because we're seated with him in the heavenlies, and our feet are on the footstool of the enemy. I hope that, I wish I had more time to talk about the shoes of peace. Because the shoes of peace are on the feet of the people of God who also crush the head of the enemy. This is what he's talking about, treading upon the enemy, walking in victory, seeing the enemy crushed, seeing the enemy defeated in the lust of the flesh, in the course of this world, and all these things. I give you authority. Now, I want to say this because I've been using this a whole lot in my counseling. I'm going to give you a little counseling tip. If you have the authority, use it to tread upon the serpents and scorpions. Let me give you just a little example. I've dealt with a lot of people here lately with fear and worry and anxiety about a whole lot of different things. Okay? And they come in and they talk about the fear that they're walking in, and they talk about the, you know, the anxiety and the stress. How many of you have struggled with that this year? Raise your hand. Just raise your hands. Who hasn't? I was going to get you to come up here and tell us. I want to do something for you that I do for people. You may not be walking in fear right now, worry, anxiety, but I want to give you a little bit of a taste of what it means to walk in authority by the power of the Spirit of God to tread upon the serpent of fear. Can we do that right now? You might feel uncomfortable. You might not want to participate. It's okay. But I just, it's because you're going to have to repeat after me. Is that okay? Okay. So this is just a really little very expensive little ditty that I want you to know that you can walk in. Okay. So let's say that you're walking in fear and there's this stuff going on. Maybe you've got something going on in your body right now. And it's all of a sudden you've just got all this fear about it, worry and anxiety. Or again, the COVID stuff. so much fear and worry and trepidation about it. Or it might just be my job or my future or my finances. Okay, so this is what I do. I do for you. I do this for you in the study. And again, never done this like this in a congregation, but I'm going to do it for us anyway. Okay. So I want you to bow with me in prayer. I want you to repeat after me. Okay, now I want you to all try to repeat, even though it may not apply to you right now. It may be something else that you can fill in the blank for. Okay. So I just want you to repeat after me, okay? Then I'm gonna pray over you, okay? Lord Jesus. Yeah, it's good. Okay, let's try that a little bit there. Lord Jesus, I confess that I have walked in worry, fear, anxiety, and stress over this past week, in this very morning. And Lord, this is sin. And can you say that a little louder? This is sin. Lord, would you forgive me for not trusting you? Because Lord, you have my future. And you are at work in my life. And you have never failed me. And so right now, right here, in the name of Jesus, by an act of my will, by the power of the Spirit of God, I ask you, and I agree with you, to remove all worry, all anxiety, all stress, and all fear. And in the name of Jesus, I receive the peace of Jesus that surpasses all understanding. And I will no longer walk in agreement with the prince of the power of air that brings this fear and worry. I am seated with Jesus in the heavenlies, and I get to tread on the enemy. Thank you for this power. Thank you for this resurrection power and this grace and this mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Listen, yeah, go on. Yeah, clap for the Lord. This is what I believe. I believe this with all my heart. This is how we walk in authority. And it's a confidence in Jesus. It's not a confidence in the flesh. Because the flesh cannot produce this. You can't. That's why the Bible says you can't be saved of yourself. You can't be delivered of yourself. It's got to be the Spirit of the living God. But it's me walking in agreement with it. It's me walking in the repentance and being able to say in confidence in the authority, I'm not going to walk in agreement with it. And then you can use that prayer and use anything else, whether it's lust, whether it's anger, whether it's unforgiveness, or whatever it is. You have the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means will injure you. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's stand, okay? Didn't get to finish it all. I want you to bow with me in prayer. What has God said to you today? I want you to think about it, men. Men, listen to me. What has God said to you as a man, as a husband, as a dad, as a provider? What is he saying to you right now? Women, ladies, as a woman, as a wife, as a mom, maybe as a student, single person, men and women, what's God saying to you right now? You know, my prayer is that what he's saying is, you're seated with me, and we're making the enemy a footstool. And you're in a messed up world, and you're going to see messed up people tomorrow. And in some ways, we're still messed up. But one day, we will not be messed up. God is transforming you and transforming us into the image of this great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the question is, am I going to walk in agreement with what God says about me? You are seated with him in the heavenlies, and you have the power and the authority of God to tread upon this. This is not in some arrogant way. This is not in some shout at the devil way. This is a simple faith in God that I'm not going to walk in agreement with this. I'm not going to walk in agreement with this. And you can open up, folks, you can open up the passage to Galatians 5 again and look at and circle some of the things that you're struggling with, and you can walk in the same authority. Same authority. This authority is a confidence. It's like, in Jesus' name, we own this. We own this ground because he's given it to us, and we're treading on it, and we're walking the way God wants us to walk in our lives, in our marriages, as parents. Father God, I pray for this kind of ongoing supernatural victory of God. And I pray for those today in this place and watching that may come to an end of this message and say, when God, you said you were dead, Lord, I still am and I need you. I need but God to come. And Father God, I just pray that they'd look at the phone number on their fold today and give me a shout, and we'll get them the help they need to get to the place of but God, rich in mercy, who died and comes to resurrect us so that we might live this life that expresses Jesus. God directed, Spirit directed, no longer self-directed, no longer Fritcher directed, no longer fill in the name directed, but God directed. And God, I pray for the victory of Jesus this week. And I pray that we'd look back and we'd see that what's in our wake is the enemy, not people. We look in our wake and we see that it's the enemy. It's the sin. It's the stuff. It's the junk. It's the inferiority. It's the false identity. It's all those things that are left in the wake. And I want to ask God in your name that you'd come and you'd fill our people and her friend and our friends, Lord, those that are watching, those that are listening. Oh God, I pray for the supernatural power of God to press on in a messed up world. Because Lord, we are in Jesus today and have everything we need to walk in this victory. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for his great name and his great sake. Amen and amen. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you. The Lord be